You know, every time I've had a problem to solve in business, the answer has always been to add quality. Let's say your profit is down for the year. It's because your quality slipped. Every single time, the answer is to increase the quality.
That is the voice of Yvon Chouinard, founder of Patagonia. And he'll be giving us 7 super tips on today's Super You podcast.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super You.
Thank you for joining us for today's Super You podcast. I'm your host, Eric Qualman. Most of you know me as Equal Man. Today, we're going to get 7 super tips from Patagonia founder Yvon Chouinard. And maybe you know this already, and maybe you don't. But Patagonia is best known for its fleeces, but its roots lie in blacksmithing. In 1957, before Patagonia was Patagonia, the founder, Yvon Chouinard, picked up a coal-fired forge, like an anvil, and some tools from a California junkyard, and he started hammering out pitons, which I might be mispronouncing, but pitons, which are metal spikes that the rock climbers pound into cracks to use as anchors. If you haven't seen the movie Solo, check it out. I think it's on Netflix. It's amazing. The free climb that's done there, but you'll get a better sense of what these are used for. Not in that, because he does it without these, but he started hammering out these anchors for himself and his friends to use on the walls of Yosemite, and he sold them for $1.50 each. But demand started to grow, and then so Chouinard expanded the production, created new products, and named the whole thing Chouinard Equipment, Clothing, and Patagonia came much, much later. How the company grew through the decades to become the icon it is today is history that's been documented often and thoroughly, but most importantly, they've become kind of an icon for companies on how to do things well, how to give back to society, give back to environment, to not only just make a profit, but also to make the world better. So we're super excited to get the 7 super tips here today, and thank you so much for joining. Here we are with tip number 1.
You know, businessmen were all greaseballs in the 60s. You know, this is a counterculture that we were in, and we didn't respect business. In fact, they were the enemy. And so, you know, one day later on, I kind of woke up and discovered, oh my God, I am a businessman. And that's when I decided I better find out what I'm doing and started reading a lot of books on business and basically trying to create a business that we wanted to come to work in. All of us, I mean, it wasn't just me, but all of us were all dirt bags.
As an adventurer, Chouinard has a colored past. He actually served time in Albuquerque, New Mexico, or just outside of Albuquerque. He was delivering a car to a lady, so they'd done repairs on a car in New York, and they had to deliver this car. And it was supposed to be delivered by October 20th, but he didn't leave New York until the 23rd. So when the cops came, when they delivered the car, the lady said, I'm not going to pay you because this is late. It should have been here on October 20th. The cops came and agreed with the side of the lady. And so they said, you have 24 hours to get out of town. You have 24 hours to get out of New Mexico. And they only had $10 between them. So they hitched rides and made it to Grants, New Mexico, where they were arrested and then thrown in jail for 72 hours. Here we are with tip number 2.
My own philosophy is I consider myself part of nature. And, you know, not that many people do. They feel like they're above nature, and I'm part of it. And so when I see nature being destroyed, I feel like I got to do something about it. And so that's why I continue hanging on to this company, because it's my resource to do something good. Before we did 1%, we would give 10% of our sales before taxes. And then I noticed some other companies saying the same thing, and I knew that, you know, at the end of the year, the principals would just give themselves a big bonus, and there was hardly any profits. So they, you know, 1% of nothing is nothing. And so I said, look, You know, this is not philanthropy. This should be a cost of doing business. So that's where we went to 1% of sales. So whether you're profitable or not, it's a cost of doing business. And so we included in our pricing and in our costs. And it's no longer philanthropy. I don't think it's philanthropy. It's rent for us living on this planet.
One commonality of all the leaders we have on the show is they say hire the right people, put them in the right place on the team, and basically get out of the way and get hurdles out of the way for those folks. So that's your job, is really to serve those folks, put the right people in the right place, serve them by not providing advice necessarily or direction, but serve them by getting the hurdles out of those people's way. Moving on to tip number 3 from the founder of Patagonia.
You know, if you ask me what our profits were last year or what they're going to be this year, I have no idea. I own this business to basically put into action what all the smart people are saying we have to do to save this planet. So there's a lot of, you know, convening going on, talking about all our problems, but there's nobody out there actually doing it. And that's why we exist, is to actually find out where we're doing something wrong and then fix it, and then prove to the rest of the world that it's good business.
Notice he doesn't say he's chasing profits. He's trying to figure out how to save the planet. He wants to take that action. It's really his why, and I call it the WHI. What's the mission of the company? How do we differ from the competition? And if we went away tomorrow, what's the loss to society? And in Patagonia's instance, in Yvonne's instance, if we went away tomorrow, what's the loss to society, would be that there's no one taking that action to help save the planet. I shouldn't say no one. That there would be a big void in this big corporation that has a big voice and a big leader trying to save the planet. Hiking right along here with tip number 4.
And so I thought, well, you know, if those people have the responsibility to act as if we're going to be here 100 years from now, then I have to do it myself. And that's what we decided to do, to make all our decisions as if our company was going to be here 100 years from now. That doesn't mean, you know, we can go slow and we got 100 years to get there. It means that every decision is based on the long term. And it also assumes a lot of responsibility. It assumes that we have a responsibility that the society and that is going to be here 100 years from now.
Make every decision based on if we're going to be here 100 years from now. Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's take this exercise. Do it on social. Share it out there. I'm just Equal Man across the board on all social media outlets, Equal Man. And let's just say, what would we do differently this week? What's a decision we're going to make this week that would change if our mindset adjusted to be that we, our individual self, or maybe it's our small business, maybe it's the corporation we work within, are going to be here 100 years from now? How would that change a decision that you're making right now? Hiking right along with tip number 5.
My chief designer at the time said, you know, we can make the best quality climbing hardware, but we can't make the best clothes. I said, well, why not? Well, you know, the best shirt is a, you know, Giorgio Armani hand-woven Italian fabric, and the buttons are hand-sewn, and it's an impeccable thing. It's a work of art, and they cost $300 minimum. If we started making stuff like that, we'd be out of business. Well, I said, what happens if you throw that in a washing machine? Oh, well, you can't do that. It's got to be dry cleaned. I mean, it'll shrink, it'll fall apart. I mean, I said, that's not very good quality. So, you know, part of this book is defining what we mean by quality in clothing.
We had to figure out what is quality and what is quality for our customers and for ourselves, because we were our own customers.
You do need to define what quality means for your customer. And a lot of times, especially small businesses that grow into large entities, you start with a sample of one, meaning it's you. You're a user of the product itself. So make it that level of quality that you desire that makes it useful for you. You're starting to see a recurring theme on success here. It's quality, quality, quality. And so when faced with a tough decision, he always said, how do we improve the quality? Which a lot of times is the opposite of what we try to do. We try to reduce costs when times are difficult. We try to remove the quality piece. And quality doesn't always mean high cost. You've got to define that quality, as we talked about in the previous tip. And so it's really about defining that quality and then continuing to strive to improve that quality. Here we are, tip number 6.
Make the best product. You know, every time I've had a problem to solve in business, the answer has always been to add quality. Let's say your profit is down for the year. It's because your quality slipped. Every single time, the answer is to increase the quality. And that's hard to get across to accountants. You know, you put in a child care center and they're saying, you know what? This is just gonna cost you a lot of money to do this. You're not gonna get it back. That's not true at all. We've got 70 something percent women who we can't afford to lose when they get pregnant. The best product we produce is the kids that come out of our child care center.
Tip number 7, spoiler alert, this is my favorite tip.
These companies had been in business for over 200 years, some 300 years. And the underlying values was, number one, quality, and then innovation, and then control growth. So, you know, we came out with an ad in the New York Times National Edition 2 years ago on Black Friday that said, had a photograph of one of our jackets and said, don't buy this jacket. And in the text it said, basically, think twice before you buy a jacket from us. Are you just bored and you just, you know, or do you really need it? So think twice. And we, in fact, we have a billboard going up that's up in New York City right now that we change every 2 weeks. Basically, anti-consuming billboards.
That is my favorite tip from Patagonia founder Yvon Chouinard, because it's socialnomics. We talk about socialnomics all the time, word of mouth on digital steroids. So your customers are taking, your clients are taking your brand. And so they're the ones that give it scale. And so you've got to invite your customer into your mission to stand for something, and then you'll earn their business and they'll be part of the story. They'll tell the story for you. That's the socialnomics. That's the word of mouth on digital steroids. That's that word of mouth that goes to world of mouth. And we see it in an example with Patagonia, that are doing great things in business and great things for the world. Thank you for joining us for today's Super You podcast. I'm your host, Eric Qualma. Most of you know me as Equal Man. My hope is that these tips help unlock and unleash the inner superpower that's within all of us. Because remember, we're not perfect, but we're perfectly made. So it's about being the perfect you. It's about being that super you. Huge thanks to our sponsor, Amazon Prime. Get anything delivered to your house within a day or two. How great is that, especially during this pandemic? And I hope everyone out there, your friends and your family, that you're all staying positive and testing negative. And some other folks we want to thank for making this show possible: Commonwealth Club of California, 1% for the Planet, Yale University, Talks at Google, University of California, the Shenfield Center, in the Green Biz. And I want to thank all of you for continuing to post great ratings on Spotify and also on iTunes. It's helping people discover the show. So we're seeing our downloads increase, and that's all because of you. So thank you so much. And until next time, this is Equal Man reminding all of us, it's not what we take from the world, it is what we leave behind.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Super, 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 super you.